want you to turn this morning to the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, and also to the book of Philippians in chapter number 3. Book of Galatians, chapter number 5, and you say, we're back in Galatians again. Yeah, we stepped away from our series in Galatians a couple of weeks ago to focus on Christmas. This morning we return where we left off because what we see here, I believe, can help us with a new year. And that's one reason why I'd said we're going to step away until after the new year, but as I began to study about this and what I wanted to say next, I think that this can help us in the new year before us if we'll take heed to it. And we've returned to our text this morning right where we left off, and we see how that Paul is commending the Galatians here for having run a good race in the past. So look at verse number 7 and 8. Verse number 7, he says, "Ye did run well," talking about in times past, "but who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." And so we see here that when Paul preached the gospel to them, they had started off good, but now they were being hindered from running the race. They were being hindered from obeying the truth. And something had happened to them to knock them off track, because at the writing of this, they were not running well. We were playing off of that phrase, "you did run well" there. And we're talking about running well. And we looked at two messages on this. We said that God has a plan for each of our lives, and there's an analogy that's used in Scripture of running a race, and it applies to our running the race that God has given to us in our Christian walk. And we said that He wants us to run a race that He's given us, and He wants us to run it well with diligence. If something knocked us off track, though, we're not going to run the race well. And that's where a lot of folks are at in their Christian walk. Something has knocked them off track. And sad to say that I would see an increasing amount of people that have stepped back from where they originally were in the Lord. Something has knocked them off track, and they're not being what the Lord would have them to be. And our desire should not only be really to run well. I mean, we want to run, and we ought to want to finish the race. Amen. We ought to want to finish well. And we think about finishing well, how the Apostle Paul said, "I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith." That's the desire that each of us ought to have, is that, look, you know, what the God gave me to do, I've completed that. I've fulfilled that. I've ran well, and I've finished well. And we said to do both of those things, there are some things that we need to both know and do. And in the first message we looked at, we said that the first and most important point is to run well, we must run on the right road. Amen. You're not going to run well if you're not born again, if you've not been saved. If you're still on that broad road that leads to destruction, you're not going to run well. And things are not going to end well for you. And we need to enter in at the straight gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And the Bible says that many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. In our last message, which was the second message 3 weeks ago, we looked at the second thing, and it said to run well, we must run with a right focus. Must run with a right focus. What do we need to be focused on? The finish line. What the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do. Be focused on the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 12, verse 2, we looked at looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that phrase, looking unto Jesus, means focusing upon Him. And what He would have us to do. And this morning, we continue to look at this matter of running well. And I've asked you to turn there to the book of Philippians. And we'll take a look at Philippians chapter number 3. And some of this we have touched on, but I want us to take a look at Philippians 3 and begin with verse number 7 and read down through verse number 16. And today, I want us to see that for us to run well, we must run with discipline. We must run with discipline. A runner, somebody's going to run. Let's take someone that's going to be in the Olympics. there's certain disciplines they got to have in their life, don't they? I mean, you just don't go out one day and run a marathon, do you? Our son tried to run some marathons. I think he attempted to run some marathons or half marathons, but he took some training. He had to work up to it to do that. He and his wife both, they had to work up. Now, of course, he was hindered from running because of the problems he has with the arthritis, and he had to step back from doing that. But in order to run well, you've got to be disciplined. You just don't you just don't run any old way. And discipline has a lot to do with how one runs a race. Look at Philippians 3 and verse number 7. The Apostle Paul says, "But what things were gained to me," he's talking about the things before he got saved, before he came to know Christ, the things that are mentioned in the previous verses about how he had the right, he had a proper pedigree. I mean, he was from a right family and a right tribe, and he was a Pharisee, and he was a good Pharisee. He had all kinds of stuff that people would say, "Man, you got so much going for you." But he said, "The things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." In other words, he's saying there, you know, Christ saved me for a purpose, His purpose. And I want to fulfill that purpose that He saved me for. I'm wanting to apprehend that for which He apprehended me for. And that is for him to live his life for Christ. Verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And we'll see there also in verse numbers 15 to 16, he says, "Let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things." So we're talking about running with discipline. One who is disciplined, first of all, I want you to see, avoids having a defeated attitude. Avoids having a defeated attitude. You need to expect to win. And so, "Well, you know, I'm just satisfied running the race." You ever seen anybody in the Olympics that was interviewed beforehand and they said, "Well, you know, I'm just glad I'm able to participate. I really didn't expect to win." Well, why don't you stay home and let somebody else run, is my attitude in that. One of the great things about the Apostle Paul is he had a winning attitude. There in verse 13, he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before." I mean, he was pressing. He's talked about there in verse 14, press toward the mark. He didn't have any quit in him. One thing about him is he had a winning attitude no matter what was going on around him. When you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, you understand he went through a great difficulty. I mean, he was imprisoned. He was many times beaten. He was stoned with stones. I mean, you know, when we think of stoned in our day, it's not the same thing as being stoned back then. Amen. But he was stoned. They threw rocks at him, left him for dead. And all kinds of things. Got the run out of town, many places that he went. And we know that regardless of what was going on around him, he had a winning attitude. He didn't quit. He just kept going on. They'd throw me out of this town, well, I'd go to the next town. He'd go to the next town, they'd throw him out of that town, he'd go to the next town. He wasn't going to quit on the Lord. A fellow by the name of Clement Stone once said, he says, there's a little difference in people, but that little difference makes a big difference. The little difference is attitude. The big difference is whether it's positive or negative. Amen? You ever see anybody with a negative attitude? You know, a negative attitude affects how you approach things, doesn't it? You ever seen anyone who said, well, I don't expect to win. I'm just doing the best that I can. It reminds me of the quote from Leo Tolstoy's War and Peace, where he wrote this phrase in his book. He said, we lost because we told ourselves we lost. We lost because we told ourselves we lost. Listen, we are not to dwell on past failures. Hey, Paul said, you know, I forget those things which are behind. I mean, he had persecuted Christians and persecuted the cause of Christ before he got saved. And if he had minded those things, you know, he might have gotten depressed about what he had done. But he left that stuff in the past. And he pressed forward in his life. And even though sometimes he would get knocked down, he didn't let himself get knocked out. When we fall or get knocked down, we're not to let it keep us down, are we? Not to allow it to cause us to quit. We're to put it behind us, to forget it, and then get back up and start running again. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. I mean, if you're saved by God's grace and you get knocked down, where do you get back up? And keep on with the race. I viewed a video on YouTube. I was searching for a testimony that would help with this particular thing. And in 2008, they had the Big Ten Indoor Track Championships. I remember having seen this on the news, and I ran a search. And they've got this actually on YouTube. You can go in there and view it. But there was a lady by the name of Heather Dornadin who was running in the women's 600 meter run. Now, it's three laps around a 200 meter circle is what you're doing. Well, on her, she did real well going around two times. On the third time, right as she was getting to the finish line, finishing up the second line, somebody tried to pass her and stepped on her heel, and she went down. And when she fell, you'd have thought, well, she's just going to quit. The race is over. But she was undeterred. She got back up. The last lap, this is what they call the bell lap, and this is where you're either going to win it or lose it. And she went from last place all the way, sprinted from last to first in that final lap. Why? Because she didn't have any quit in her. She got up to finish the race. She didn't dwell on the fact that she had been done wrong. If she had said, "Well, you know, I just got bad luck," or just something always happening to me, or she could have looked at any number of excuses to just quit the race and go to the side and say, well, it's not my fault, but I just lost the race. But she got back up and she won that race. We're not to dwell on past failures. We're not to dwell on who we are, but rather whose we are and who indwells us. In this same book, in Philippians 4, in verse number 13, the next chapter, in verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you hear the positive attitude coming through that? You know, Paul didn't look at something to say, well, you know, that's too hard for me. If Christ called him to do it, he said, you know, Christ in me can accomplish this. In fact, Paul was very quick to talk about Christ in him doing things. In Galatians 2:20, we saw where he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So he wasn't living the Christian life according to his own strength. He was living the Christian life. He was running that race based upon Christ living and fulfilling his will through his life. 1 Corinthians 6 in verse 19 and 20 tells us a similar thing, that we're bought with a price. You know what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, it's God in us. It's Christ in us who is the hope of glory. And it's Christ in us that will keep us from quitting. He'll have us push on in our run, in running the race that he has given to us. We're talking about running with discipline. You know, if we're going to run with a proper attitude, disciplined attitude, we have to avoid having a defeated attitude. We have to expect to win. And that entails not listening to those who say we can't do it, or those who don't want us to do it. You know, there are folks who don't want you to live for Christ. That's because they're not living for Christ. There are folks who don't want you to live for Christ, do what the Lord wants you to do in your life, because it makes them look bad. We don't need to listen to the wrong crowd. Don't get discouraged and allow someone to cause you to quit. So one who is disciplined avoids having a defeated attitude. They expect to win. A second thing we see is that one who is disciplined avoids having a divided attitude. And that's by keeping the main goal before them. There in Philippians 3, in verse number 7 and 8, Paul talks about that main goal. Philippians 3, 7 and 8, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. They say, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung that I may win Christ. He was not saying, well, you know, on Sundays I'm going to live for Christ, but Monday through Saturday, boy, that's my time. That was not his attitude. He was a full-time Christian. He was disciplined in his attitude. He kept the main goal of being Christ-like in his life. James 1, verse number 8 says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And that goes to what we're talking about. We need to not have our mind on, this is my life and this is Christ's life. No, our life is the Christ life. If you're saved, it is Christ's life that you're living. He is inside and he wants you to live your life for him. Don't have a divided attitude. Winning takes a right sacrifice with the right attitude. 1 Corinthians 9:25, the Apostle Paul penned these words. He says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. And that word temperate means to exercise self-restraint. In other words, to be disciplined in your life. And we see in the Apostle Paul that discipline, that self-restraint come through. He said, what things were gained in me, those I counted lost for Christ. And he talked about counting all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And he counted them really as nothing but dung that he might win Christ. You know, Hebrews 12, verse number 1 tells us that we need to lay aside the weights and sins in our life. Or lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. 1 John 2, verse number 15 tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we think, when we think about those passages, in my mind, Demas is who comes to mind. Remember Demas used to serve right alongside the Apostle Paul, but then he got looking at the things he shouldn't have looked. He had a divided attitude. He tried to serve Christ, but he had his eyes looking at the things of the world. And he got to where he loved the world, and he left the Apostle Paul. He forsook the Apostle Paul, having loved this present world. Winning takes a right devotion. with the right motives. Listen, we need a devotion toward God for His honor and for His glory. A third thing I want us to see this morning is that one who is disciplined avoids having an arrogant attitude, because none of us have arrived. Notice how the Apostle Paul says there in verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." And he's basically saying, I've not arrived yet. I haven't reached the finish line yet. None of us have arrived. I was watching one of the football games yesterday, and I think it was the very first one that I was looking, and the guy scored. He intercepted, had a pick six, was running to the end zone. He reached back and taunted the guy behind him before he made it to the end zone, and they penalized him from the place where he taunted because he had not reached the goal yet. Took the touchdown away from him. I watched another video, and I saw this during the Olympic races when they were running track. And it always kills me whenever these runners, they're running a really good race, and they get right there to the end, and you see them let up. They're not stretching toward the goal. What he says there, when he says in verse 14, "I press toward the mark," that means he's running as fast as he can, and he's got that chest out, trying to bust through that finish line. I've seen someone who has passed in those last few inches because they let up. They didn't give everything to what they had in the race. They had an arrogant attitude. They thought they had arrived. Listen, we're not to dwell on past victories. You know, past victories do not assure victory today. You ever seen someone with so arrogant that they thought they only had to show up to get the medal? I think that was one in one race that Michael Phelps, in the last set of Olympic races that he was in, it was a 400 meter medley or something he was involved in. It's kind of like he had the attitude that he was going to win, and he didn't even place. You know, he didn't even get a bronze. He was expected to win the gold. He didn't win the gold. He didn't win the silver. He didn't win the bronze. I think because he had an attitude, an arrogant attitude, that he was just going to do it. And we're not to have that. We're not to dwell on who we are, but on who Christ would have us to be. It's not about us. Realize that the Christian life is not about us. It's about Christ in us. It's all about Christ. We're not to listen to those who brag on us, because we can get overconfident. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5 says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." The Bible says that we're to die to self. You know, when you think about dying to self, and we say, well, what does that mean? One thing you'll notice about someone who is dead, they're not affected either by the negative comments or positive comments. You can say something negative about them and it's not going to affect them. They're dead. You can say something positive about them. You can brag on them all day long. They're not going to get the big head. You know why? Because they're dead. And I think in part of being dead to self, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to be. And number four thing I want you to see here. One who is disciplined avoids having an ignorant attitude. An ignorant attitude. You got to know the goal. You got to know what you're running for. Do you have spiritual goals in your life? Have you made any goals for this coming year? Do you know God's will for your life? You know God has a will for your life. He wants you to know it and He wants you to do it. Do you know what God's objective is for you and the race He has for you to run? Years ago, I used to play golf. When I first started playing golf, we had played some courses over on the islands. They were kind of pricey. We found a little golf course there in Brunswick called the Glencoe Golf Course. It's no longer there. It's been, now it's a federal law enforcement training center. They shut it down. You can't play golf there anymore. But I remember the first time I played there. Now, I wasn't any good at golf. One reason I don't play anymore. Amen. I was there playing the number three. Number three was a par four. And the first time I played the hole, I could see in front of me, I could see a green with a flag on it. I said, you know, this just seems strange to be a par four, me being able to see that. And they said, you know, if you go right over the corner there, you can land on the green. It's over there to the left. And I could plainly see the thing in front of me. And it was off to the left there. So I hit really one of my best shots of the day. And my ball goes up there and it goes about this far away from the hole. And probably one of the best shots of my life, except I had the wrong hole. That was the green for the number five hole coming back from another direction. This was a dog leg left. And I didn't see the hole. You couldn't see the hole. It was a dog leg left. I was ignorant of the course. I was ignorant of where I was hitting the ball. We need to know what the goal is. And that is to win Christ. That's what he was talked about there in verses 8 through 10. He says, there in the last part of verse 8, I do count them all but dung that I may win Christ, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. When he talks about knowing him, he says, I thought the Apostle Paul knew him already. He did. But he wanted to know him better. Know him more. Know him greater. Know him experientially is what he's talking about. He's not talking about a head knowledge. He's talking about a knowledge that comes from allowing Christ to live through you. Know the power of his resurrection. Look at Romans 6 real quick. Romans 6. Romans 6 and verse number 4. Romans 6, verse 4. He said, therefore we are buried with him by baptism, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Talking about the power of the resurrection. Look at verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he said, for that reason, you know, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness as unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We're to live in the power of Christ's resurrection and know the fellowship of his suffering. We're to know not only what the goal is, that's when Christ, but we're to know where the goal is. Listen, the goal is before us. We're to move forward, aren't we? Onward, forward, pressing ahead. No turning back. Having our vision cast, as the book of Colossians says, let your affection be on the things above, not on things on the earth. Who's above? Well, that's where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Know where the goal is before us. And then last of all, one who is disciplined avoids having a complacent attitude, never letting up until the race is over. Again, it gets back to some pictures that you see in sports often. I've seen some fellas running toward the end zone. You can run 99 yards with that ball in your hand. If you release that ball before you cross the end zone, it's not a touchdown. Yeah? and the coaches teach the kids, go in the end zone and hand that ball to the referee. And that way you'll prevent yourself from letting go of that ball too quick. Amen? Don't have a complacent attitude. Never let up until the race is over. Paul said, I press toward the mark there. And we need to keep up the areas of victory that we have. Look at verse number 16. It says, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. You know, if you had some victories, continue to live in those victories. And if you don't lose the things you've already attained. Keep up the areas of victory. Zeal is important in it. So this morning, in closing, are you on the right road? Have you been born again? If not, today ought to be the day that you come to know the Lord. How much better could it be to start off a new year than with new life? Amen? With it being born again. Come to know Jesus if you don't know Him. Are you running with the right focus? Are you focused on Jesus? And are you running with a disciplined attitude? I want to close with 1 Corinthians 9. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9, just want to read few verses, and then we're going to have the invitation. We'll be done. 1 Corinthians 9, and there's a picture here. And Paul is good about using pictures of running races, of fighting fights. He uses these athletic pictures. And here in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, he uses a picture of a race and a fight. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. There's that winning attitude, right? That's not running just to be running in the race. That's running to win, isn't it? Run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. Okay, it gets back to what we're talking about, having discipline in your life. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep, and this is important, this shows the discipline here, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. There's that discipline, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So let's run with discipline the race that God has given to us in this coming year, 2019, the year before us, until Jesus comes back. Amen. Don't let up. Don't stop short. Keep running the way the Lord would have you to run. Let's bow in prayer. Father, help us with these truths. Help us to see we need to be disciplined in our Christian lives so that we might run a good race, might run well, Lord, that we might finish well. Lord, you have your way and invitation. If there's somebody that needs Christ today, help them to come, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.